We go back. For your presentation, Alina, sorry again for the delay, and we are all very excited with this presentation about ethnic portraits. It's a really great topic that you bring us for the 50s. Thanks.
Thank you. So the title of my presentation is quite self-explanatory. It's called Ethnic Portraits of Lipovans and Tatars in Romania. I don't think I have to explain who the Tatars are as an ethnic group. The Lipovans, for those of you who maybe don't know, are Russian old believers. That's how they call themselves, Starobratsi or Staroveri, people who follow the old rite before before the schism in the Russian church, beginning with the Patriarch Nikon. So they're Russian old believers. I'll just start reading. The new social order, founded on communist ideology, brought a promise for emancipation for all peoples, regardless of race or ethnicity. The betterment of working conditions, cultural and ideological uplifting, would bring an eventual leveling of social, economic, and cultural differences. The strategies employed to achieve that varied as the party resorted to constraints, but also to means of seduction in the attempt to integrate the national minorities. So these are just, I will follow this very, very sketchily. These are just a few points of reference in order to get a quick idea about the policies implemented in the 1950s or beginning with 1948 already. With the 50s and their impact on the two communities here under discussion. So for the Lipovans, perhaps the most important event was the nationalization in 1948, the nationalization of all enterprises, including fishery enterprising and the establishing of state monopoly over the fishing industry. It must be said that fishing is the traditional occupation for the Lipovan community. It has not only an economic role for them, but it also has a religious dimension, as they were very very religious people. So social-wise, in terms of social organization, the Lipovan fishermen, once self-employed or working in small cooperatives, became brigadiers, which meant full-time employees of the state. Also, an important phenomenon after 1948, important for everybody in Romania, but I will try to focus on the Lipovans, the integration into the system of mass schooling opened up possibilities to work and eventually live outside their traditional communities. They're being very autarchic up until that moment and having rather limited, limited commerce, a limited relationship with the state authorities other than the police and the fiscal authorities. After 1949, collectivization, secularization, and later industrialization affected the fabric of this once very autarchic, as I said, and faith-centered community. Regarding the Tatars, the policies were more openly aggressive and also marked by some interesting inconsistencies. So you have already by 1945 and up till 1956, the establishing by the Romanian Communist Party of mass organizations, as they were called, the tasks of which were to, quote, liquidate illiteracy and cultural backwardness, which was felt to be a particular problem in the rural Tatar community, in the Muslim community, to counter the persistence of fatalism and superstitions by which they denoted Islam, and to educate the members of the community in the spirit of socialism. You also have, and this is important to, I won't insist upon it, but I think in this context it is important to mention the extensive surveillance by the state security and a series of repression meaning restriction of rights, deportations, assassinations occasionally, targeting those who sheltered Tatar refugees from Crimea. The Tatar community in Dobroja is related, a part of it. You have the Nogai Tatars and the Crimean Tatars. There are two subgroups in the Tatar community of Crimea, and the Crimean Tatars are related to the Tatars from Crimea. In 1948, the reform of education law, which meant the establishing for the first time in its history of primary and secondary education in the Tatar language, introducing, however, the Tatar dialect spoken in the Tatar Autonomous Soviet Socialist Republic, so the Volga Tatar, the dialect of the Volga Tatars, which is not the same as the dialect of the Crimean Tatars, and using textbooks imported from the USSR. As I said, this was a policy marked by inconsistencies, and they were always, for a long time, there was persistent suspicion toward the Tatar nationality, and at least the Tatar intellectuals interpret the disestablishment of all Tatar schools and classes, which occurred in 1959, as a final blow or a final attempt to denationalize or to discourage expression of Tatar traditional identity. So I will go further. National minorities, such as the Lipovans and the Tatars, were no longer seen as semi-closed traditional communities, as had been the case, but as active allies in the effort to build the communist society. Soon after 1948, the, quote, twinning of the Romanian people and the cohabiting nationalities in common struggle and work, end of quote, became a staple of the official discourse. It was in this context that Lipovans were sometimes represented as partisans fighting the German army, thus fueling one of the party's legitimizing stories. In reality, the partisans were Soviet spies and saboteurs parachuted in the Danube Delta, the lower Danube, and in other places across Romania, especially along the eastern front lines. Official historiography did not specify the ethnicity of the partisans who fought in the Danube Delta and in the marshes of Brăila, but in art, they were sometimes portrayed as Lipovans in order to accredit the idea that the partisans were patriotic, working-class locals fighting under the guidance of the Romanian Communist Party and not foreign agents. This is the reason why partisans in Marcel Chirnoaga's Aquatint from 1960 are represented as Lipovans greeted by their families, embracing their children, etc. While there have been cases where Lipovans expressed sympathy towards the Soviet Union, like in Jurilovka, when in 1947 around 220 Lipovan families chose to emigrate to the USSR, it appears as though they were largely reticent towards both the communist cause and the Soviet army, most probably on account of their religious faith. As Brăila-born artist Nica Petre recalls in one of his autobiographical writings, quote, "One day, the Russians appeared on the streets, with none of us having called them. People were running from them, from the liberators, as they were called in the Romania Libera newspaper. How comes that, to run from the liberators? Only the Lipovans talked to them a little, but even they called them Bolsheviki, Bolsheviks, not Russians." Most depictions, however, focused on Lipovans' role in the fishing industry. It is important to note that under the new political circumstances, they were no longer regarded as an ethno-religious community, but as a socio-professional category belonging to the working class. This is why the ethnonym Lipovan is rarely to be found in the titles appearing in catalogs and art publications. And this is also part of the reason why this presentation will be more about Lipovans than about Tatars. Depictions of fishermen and of their, quote, new working conditions, became something of a specialty of the artists Senecal in Breila, as can be seen in their output from that time and also in their correspondence with the Central Office of the Union of Plastic Artists and with other institutions. Writing in response to a letter demanding information on the artworks projected for 1955, the Senecal sent a list of titles, almost all of which refer to fishing. The list, which includes titles such as Aspects from the Current Life of Fishermen, The Recent Betterment of the Technical Means for Fishing, New Working Conditions for the Exploitation of the Riches of Our Marshlands, gives an idea about the expectations that the official discourse on art exerted on practitioners. The aspects that were to be depicted were supposed to be not only new, reflecting recent transformations or betterments to come, but also characteristic. So I quote, members of the Union of Plastic Artists of the Socialist Republic of Romania, Brăila Senecal, have the task to produce a number of works, so it was a task, featuring characteristic aspects from the work process of fishing, just like other units of ours have the task to represent in their works typical aspects of the work being done in their regions. This paragraph is interesting also because it contextualizes the key notion of typicality. I underline it here because it is this inherent tension in something that must be at once new and typical, and therefore in a sense old, that I believe is most relevant for the understanding of socialist-realist representations of ethnicity. The case of the 1958 address to the Dunărea Brăila fishery enterprise is especially telling in this regard. In order for us, this was an address written by the president of the artist Senecal in Brăila. In order for us to fulfill this task, we ask for your help by asking you to recommend us to your subordinate units and to indicate to us the places where the fishing activity is being carried out, as well as other typical aspects of the preparatory work related to fishing, end of quote. I wasn't able to identify the fishery's response, but it is very likely that the request was granted. This was a common practice. But looking at the outcome of this endeavor, we realized that this must have been little more than a matter of bureaucracy. An image that was supposedly the result of the sessions of on-site documentation is in fact a composite of two photographs taken sometime in the mid or late 1930s that the author, Gheorghe Naum, employed with some adjustments. On one hand, this case speaks about the limits of the practice of so-called documentation or of the principle of artistic documentarism, as it was called in Soviet historiography. On the other hand, a comparison between the photographs that served as a model and the resulting composition allows us to measure the degree of change elicited by the official demands on art and to detect just what was saliently new information in the finite work. For one, there is a visual emphasis on the abundant capture. Images of abundance, rich captures, bountiful crops, were important for socialist realism, especially in the 1950s, because they were a way to make visible the prosperity promised by the new regime. Secondly, if in the photographs we see women alongside men, inviting the presupposition that this was a family most likely working on its own, as it was usually the case at that time, in the linocut we see only specialized workers, a brigade of fishermen after the new fashion imposed by the state. After the nationalization in 1948, as I already mentioned, the state forbade fishing with private tools and disbanded all private associations and fisheries. Fishermen who up till then worked alone or together with their families or in small cooperatives became employees with permanent status, employees of the state. Other images of the interwar period passed into the socialist-realist realm without any actual modifications. This is attested to by an engraving titled Work in the Brăila Harbor, done sometimes in 1955 or 1956. For this composition, Naum used details from three photographs he took sometimes in the latter half of the 1930s. It may be said that this picture is a barometer of social change in a very indirect way, not so much by what it portrays, but by the way it was used and interpreted at different times. At the time of its exhibit at the annual State Exhibition of Graphic Arts in 1956, this image was considered to portray a plausible aspect of contemporary life. within less than 15 years, when it was used to illustrate Constantin Cejurescu's History of the City of Brăila in 1968 and the monograph of the Brăila County in 1971, the same image was considered to be a historical image, a scene from the late 19th century. Things had changed so much in the meantime that a picture of barefoot, oriental-looking stevedores was interpreted, or in any case presented, as belonging to the distant past. The vague oriental appearance of the stevedores may have had something to do with the temporal confusion. It is understandable if we look at an even stranger picture in the port of Brăila done at about the same time, 1955 or 1956, where in the foreground we see a pair of Turkish stevedores in traditional clothing. This too is a specimen of socialist realist art. It was exhibited and reproduced in that context. But it is not at all clear what is the meaning of this scene, or and to what temporal frame are we to ascribe it? If you were to detach the pair in the foreground, we would get a plausible image of the port as it still looked in the mid-1950s. So to sum up, it may be said that the representation of ethnicity as ethnicity, that is to say, in a way that highlights recognizable markers of ethnic identity, stereotypical facial features, traditional dress, traditional activities, had a way of obfuscating socialist-realist temporality. An analogous example is provided by Gheorghe Ivanchenko's portrayals of Chinese peasants. These are contemporaneous images based on sketches Ivanchenko took on the spot upon his travel to Hangzhou in 1956. But there is nothing in these pictures to allude, not even in a celebratory fashion, to the dramatic social and political transformations that were sweeping over China right at that time. These images are socialist realist, to be sure. There is nothing here in terms of style or formal expression to distinguish them from the artist's other productions from the same period, but judging from what Ivanchenko chose to include and more importantly to exclude, we may safely contend that his interest was mostly ethnographical. It was often remarked that socialist realist portrays future events and situations as though they had already happened. Representations of ethnicity, however, challenge such generalizations, offering on one hand examples of contemporaneous aspects where nothing refers to socialist values or to aspects pertaining to socialist modernity, and on the other hand, examples of images belonging to the pre-socialist past that were recalibrated as images of contemporary life with minimal or no adjustments. This last situation is the easily documentable case of at least one of Gheorghe Naum's portraits of distinguished fishermen. The portrait on the right, done sometimes in 1959, supposedly a result of on-site documentation at the local fishery, is in fact based on a photograph the author took some two decades before. The photograph on the left is part, this left, is part of a larger series that attempted to document in an almost monographic manner characteristic aspects from the counties of Argeș and Brăila. Naum's range of interests went from area-specific activities to particulars of dress and architecture, and from landscape to ethnic typologies. As seen here, Romanians and Gypsies from the Argeș County in the upper row, and Lipovans living and working in the vicinity of Brăila. So in his case, there is continuity and possibly an ideological overlap between the preoccupation with the socialist realist typical, where distinguished fishermen appear as exponents of the socialist work ethic, and his earlier regionalist preoccupations with ethnic typologies. This is also not unconnected to the monographical method of Professor Dimitri Augusti. Looking at the portraits of Lipovans from the 1950s and comparing them with an interwar example, Gheorghe Ceglokov's portrait of a Lipovan fisherman from 1939, part of a small series also dedicated to ethnic typologies, one can wonder as to what the actual differences are. One can see the realism, how they comply with the demand for formal verisimilitude. But what exactly is socialist about these portraits? Where is socialism to be located in these images? Sometimes the socialist content rests solely in elements of rhetoric, the proudly raised head, the smiling eyes, the stout, heroic posture. Here the fisherman appears monumental, steadfast, optimistic. Like many of socialist realism new men, he seems to be looking forward with trust, confident in what the future will bring. However, inside the corpus of works here under discussion, this kind of unmistakable poster-like rhetorical charge is the exception rather than the rule. Looking at this portrait, we can ask if it is a good socialist realist work. Does it respond to the socialist realist demand for typicality? If by typical we are to understand the new, that which has happened or is about to happen in the unfolding of the new socialist reality, then there is nothing typical about it. But if by typical we are to understand that which is most characteristic to any given element of reality, its innermost essence, as it was sometimes called, then this is indeed a representative portrayal of a very typical Lipovan fisherman. Incidentally, by virtue of its being a characteristic and truthful portrait in the socialist realist sense, it also reproduces the old stereotype about the Lipovan character, withdrawn, shrewd, silent, and morose. This situates ethnic portraits in a very ambiguous place. They can function just as well inside the socialist frame of reference and outside of it. In a way, ethnic portraits are more comparable to landscapes than to the customary portraits of new men. Landscapes hold an analogous position within the socialist realist system of representation. The official discourse insisted on the idea that landscapes should reflect the specific character of the local nature. Thus, the artist who would follow the laws of typification would not stop at just any aspect of nature, but by carefully choosing one particular and highly representative feature, would strive to render the specificity of an entire region. As one critic put it, I quote, "If you look at reproductions after examples of landscape painting from the Soviet Union, you can immediately recognize the steppes of Ukraine or the cold atmosphere of Leningrad, the burning sun of Uzbekistan, or the greatness of the taiga," end of quote. I will only briefly note that what came to be termed Soviet Orientalism may in fact be a design feature, so to say, the unwitting result of socialist realism insistence on typicality. We encountered this kind of ambiguity in the extremely few images of Tatars we have from this period. Here too, a similar focus on markers of ethnic identity had, perhaps unintentionally, the effect of reviving Orientalist clichés. If we are to place Lidia Mihaescu's lithograph on an imaginary line between Chuikov's Daughter of Soviet Kyrgyzia and Nikolai Tonitsa's drawing of a Tatar girl, a typical example of interwar Orientalism of the so-called Balchik school, it would certainly appear closer to the latter, though of course less decorative and aestheticized. But here again, ethnicity is somehow timeless and outside the socialist grip on reality. Moving forward into the next decade, we find that it was this ethnological, anthropological dimension that eventually prevailed. The portrait on the left, featured in the exhibition's Images from Dobruja, open at the end of 1960 as part of a series of events that celebrated the completion of collectivization in the Dobruja region, so this had a very high propaganda status. The author, Puja Hortensia Masikiewicz, is one of the 70 artists from all over the country that spent the summer of 1960 doing on-site documentation in several villages of the Constanza region. Here, too, they were supposed to, quote, "portray that which is significant in the new landscape of socialist Dobruja, that which constitutes the new element in these once so desolated lands," end of quote. However, there is nothing new nor significant in the way of a socialist transformation in Masikiewicz's portrait of a Lipovan woman. Judging by the traditional headscarf, flowery skirt, and waistcoat, the model may have posed in her church clothes. They usually wear their flowery skirts to church. Social-wise, the information conveyed by this portrait is strictly ethnographic. In both cases shown here, the artist's interest focused on a certain human type, one in which there is virtually nothing to connote socialist modernity. I will conclude by showing a work by Emilia Dumitrescu. This is a fairly rare example, rare for Romanian art at any rate, of a work depicting a session of on-site documentation. It is even rarer that the artist represented herself and not a group of students, for instance, thus giving a more personal note to the meaning of this scene. She made this monotype at about the same time, or very shortly after, she declared her intention to depict the, quote, new conditions for the exploitations of the riches of our marshlands, end of quote. This image, however, speaks more of frugality and simplicity than of technical improvements and production plans. The putative hero of this putative work scene, a Lipovan fisherman, is a most discreet presence as he almost blends into his surroundings. Years later, she would evoke one of the Lipovans she met in her many trips to the marshes of Braila in the following terms. I quote, "Uncle Kuprian belonged to the landscape in the same way as a willow tree or as a dried log standing on the side of the pathway for you to stumble over it. He was like a bird you would bless, looking at you inquisitively from its branch, trying to figure out who you are and what are you doing there. He was like an old boat passing over the sounds of the water, amplifying the echoes of the woods. Only the eye can see it, the soul can feel it, but the ear can't hear it." End of quote. It would seem that the productivist ethos and the bureaucratic rigidity that informed the practice of documentation was doubled by, or eventually gave way to, a kind of sympathetic, even affectionate attitude towards what was felt to embody a simpler, more primitive, and more authentic way of life. Also, it would seem that neither the forced march modernization nor the egalitarian outlook of socialist realism succeeded in stripping the representation of ethnic minorities of their irreducible otherness. Thank you.
This presentation, that's really, really fascinating, and the material is great. I love the image of the transporter, and then we think it's from the 19th century. It's really a lot about the image that we have about working class and what we associate with working class.